Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. This is the first episode of the new season. We are off and running. We are done with our summer episodes. We are back to the weekly Monday/Tuesday episodes. We have lots of content coming out here in the next few weeks. If you didn't see, go to our Twitter, check it out. We have sort of a plan for the next, I think 5 or 6 weeks leading up to the first game of the year. Obviously there's going to be like breaking news and, updates and stuff like that. But if you just want like sort of a general idea of what's going on, check out our Twitter. For this week's episode, we have a couple lists we've compiled. We have a list of returning players to the MVC. So some top players, some players to watch, a few players whose roles are really going to increase. And then we have a list of our newcomers for the MVC as well. A couple freshmen, a couple transfers in, and we're going to try to project to see how they're going to do this year as their first years in the Valley. Lou, I know you're patiently waiting and excited to start this new season. So how are you feeling, and what are you looking forward to most about this week's episode?
What I'm looking forward to most, just a sneak peek, is kind of what competition we got out there in the Valley. That's something I think, again, it's the Valley play is majority of our season, and it comes down to how we play there is what dictates potentially our kind of resume for postseason, but as well as our chance at getting the postseason. So I think that's one of the biggest things I'm excited to talk about, but also just excited to get back in the weekly swing.
Yeah, I am too, man. It's been a fun summer. It's been good. I'm glad we've been able to like kind of give ourselves a little bit of a break, you know, and also talk about stuff when it pops up, some of the important stuff. But yeah, I'm ready. I'm itching to get back into the swing of things, you know, and get back into Gentile when we can safely and start yelling at the court again. You know, I missed that. So, so this is going to be the start of the new season. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So before we get into our lists, the first thing we got to talk about is some major conference shifting news. There has been lots happening over this offseason with teams transferring conferences themselves. Like there's been some bigger conferences moving, lots of little conferences doing some stuff, especially now just because the gap between high major and mid major is kind of continuing to grow. We've been seeing a lot of movements between conferences, but it hasn't really affected the Valley until now. There was a story that came from, I'm going to get the Twitter account because I want to make sure to give credit. Matt Brown, he tweeted on September 24th. So that was, I think, Friday, from extrapointsmb.com. Go give him a follow or check out his website if you get a chance. He tweeted that Belmont is expected to depart from the Ohio Valley Conference for the Missouri Valley Conference. Anyone who doesn't know, Belmont is the best team in the Ohio Valley. I think I read that they won 20 games the past like nine seasons in a row. They came in first last year. They went 18-2 in conference play. Their overall was 26-4. They have made it to the tournament a bunch in the past like 10 years. They're in Nashville and they're a super quality team who's set to join the Missouri Valley Conference. They haven't made a formal announcement, but I believe, Lou, you were saying, I think you read a tweet or said something that tomorrow they might be making a statement. Is that true?
That's what I was reading, some articles that say the official statement per pending any like unforeseen things. Looks like it will be coming around sometime tomorrow. I don't know the reason behind why it was tomorrow. It's not like tomorrow is the 1st of October or anything. So we will see maybe why it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, and this isn't super surprising. I was surprised to learn that they're coming to the Missouri Valley Conference. Like that, I didn't think about that. But the Ohio Valley as a conference has been kind of roughed up recently. This will be the fourth team that has announced that they're leaving the conference just since last season, since the end of last season. And those other teams that are leaving are Eastern Kentucky, Jacksonville State, and Austin Peay. And they're going to, I think, an assortment of conferences, or at least two different ones. And those three teams came in third, fourth, and fifth in the standings last year for Ohio Valley, and Belmont came in first. So there's probably going to be more stuff to come about this. Potentially other teams leaving. One of them that's been rumored is Murray State. I think this goes back to when the Missouri Valley tried to, or when they got Valpo to join Missouri Valley Conference, they had asked Murray State to join too, or instead of, or one, something like that. And it never went anywhere back then. I think that was in like 2013 or 2014. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting. I know, Lou, I'll give you a chance here in a second. We were texting about it and just kind of talking about the like ramifications of it. And I think one of the things that I'm, you know, most excited about is Belmont is a top 100 team, like at the very least, like 125 in the past, like, you know, 5 or 9 years, something like that. So now, hopefully starting next year, we don't know that for sure. Hopefully starting next year, that means we get two additional games against a top 100 opponent. When, you know, we're trying so hard to find quality opponents every year in the non-conference, well, now we get to add two quality games every year. So I think that's really great. But Lou, what are you thinking about at all? Anything that I didn't talk about that you were thinking about?
Yeah, I'd say because of the close connection with the potential filler for the Valpo, right? They were the other name kind of thrown out there. It is kind of crazy to see it actually happening. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that, like, whoa, we are getting another team added to the Valley. And another team that kind of fits the origin of the Valley, Ohio Valley kind of thing. So, again, something that fits. They're not too far away from St. Louis, but they're going to be, nearly the farthest team away, potentially. So it's just going to be interesting there. But I'm excited just to get them added to the mix, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great addition. I know they have a really great, like history. Like, I know their home stadium is always rocking. I think at one point they had, like, some national record of, like, consecutive home wins. I don't know that for sure, but I thought I remembered something like that. And one of my favorite tweets that I saw about it at all, I think it was a good, like, loyal Rambler fan tweeted, "Can we put dibs on our road games to Nashville only happening on Saturday? Because Nashville's a fun town. If Loyola does end up playing a road game in Nashville on a Saturday, I want to go down and listen to some music and watch our Ramblers beat up on the new, potentially new Missouri Valley Conference opponent. So I'm looking forward to it. Lou, any last thoughts on Belmont to the MVC?
I think just a proven winner. And again, it's going to be intriguing. I think the biggest thing that people are saying is that, okay, now that Belmont joins, that leaves us with potentially the need for another team or another school. So we'll see where that trickles down. But as well as maybe potentially, I think we were chatting, does this leave the door open potentially in a few years, maybe sooner than we think, that Loyola looks to maybe take their most recent winnings and go somewhere else? Because if you look at the Valley, from Butler to Creighton to Wichita State, all those teams, after they made some big runs, that's when they saw their door. And again, it happened to be that other conferences opened up, and that's exactly what, for example, the American Athletic Association is going to have to look to do to potentially, I think, look to fill all the teams that based off the new realignments.
Yeah, and I would say you mentioned a little bit as just like adding another team to the Valley, where, you know, whereas the Loyola leaving the Valley could happen It could happen anytime. I think that's more likely to happen 5-7 years down the road. Whereas I do think they're going to get 12. I think 11 is a really weird number. They could do it, but I do think that they'll get 12 within a year of adding the 11th team. That's just like my prediction. So, my two teams that I'd be looking at are Murray State and Wright State from the Horizon League. Those are my two that I'm going to be looking at. So, super exciting stuff. Like I mentioned, go read, Extra Points. It's a great blog. I've been reading it a little bit here and there. Lots of basketball stuff happening there. Likewise, make sure to go give Matt Brown a follow. He broke the story. Within those tweets, he's talking about how much he needs. He can't keep his website free. So if you like his content, make sure to give him a follow. And if you're able to, subscribe to his newsletter. So thanks, Matt Brown. And we will be continuing to read stuff when it happens on that. I do have kind of a funny story, Lou. I know I mentioned to you a little bit, but if you're down, I'd like to tell you something that happened.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So the other day, I think it was Saturday morning maybe, St. Thomas went live on Instagram, and I was like, oh, yeah, let me tune in. Let's see what he's up to, right? And him and T.Y. were at Gentile having a shoot around or whatever, and I think later – oh, there are some guys that came in to have like a little practice or whatever. So I'm watching, they're just like messing around or whatever, shooting Duncan and stuff like that. And so I commented from the podcast account and I go, oh, what do you guys think about the new jerseys? Because, you know, they had just come out. We actually haven't talked about them, but we will in a minute here. I was like, what do you guys think about them? And T.Y. comes up the phone and he goes, They're asking what we think about the new jerseys. And they both kind of laugh. And T.Y. goes, oh, yeah, they're tough. And Saint goes, yeah, they're tough for sure. And then T.Y. turns to – or Saint says, wow, who's asking? And T.Y. goes, oh, it's at Podcast 1963. And Saint goes, oh, yeah, for sure. Like, he knew who we were. So, I don't know. I just kind of got a kick out of it. And it's kind of fun to, ask him some questions and – I never want to ask them too personal stuff or like anything that's serious because, you know, they're still college kids at the end of the day. And, but I thought asking about the jerseys was kind of fair game and they seem to like them. So I think that's pretty cool.
There you go. Maybe we'll make sure it's from Podcast 63 and not 1963. We don't want to confuse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. I had to, the Instagram account was taken. So I know. I don't know how the Twitter account wasn't taken. But the Instagram account was taken. I don't know, man. The internet's a weird place. I don't get it.
It is.
Yeah. So, but speaking of the jerseys, if anyone hasn't seen them, go look on Twitter. I mean, I'm sure I think we've retweeted stuff about it by now. Mm-hmm. Some pretty great stuff. I think they're pretty similar. There's nothing like severely changed. I think the biggest thing, they changed the font on the numbers, not the cursive font. And then they added they changed the side decal to just like piping, but it's maroon and gold. And I actually like the addition. I feel like at least the white jerseys show a lot more of the actual like yellow now, which I think is kind of cool. I don't know. It's not like anything crazy different, but I think they're pretty fun. I think it's a good change. Lou, what do you think about the new jerseys?
Yeah, I think this is coming off a year where we had a brand new third alternate jersey to get new jerseys, which I believe is also the team photo on the website. Mm-hmm. So if you want to check that out, it's really cool. It almost looks like nearly a retro, and the only reason I'd say nearly retro for me is just the outlining of the yellow for some reason gives that like retro look for me. But again, the clean scripted look as always, you said the font on the numbers. Yeah, I can see it now. So, I'm just excited to see if there's maybe an alternate, still in play. If the black jersey from last year is still in play and yada, yada. So trying to just be intrigued to see what they got out there. But again, maybe if we keep on winning, we become Oregon and just get a new jersey. But again, I also like kind of sticking with the roots of the team, not going too crazy with anything. I will only say the one jersey I've been dying to see, and I think a few years ago, Jeremiah used to work at the athletics office. It would be a city edition. I would be dying for. I would buy that. Be one of the first in line if we had a city edition. But again, they all look great, and it's always great to see new guys and new threads. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's cool. We're getting, you know, at least a new jersey that each, you know, this year and last year.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
you said, let's be the testers for Nike or something. I like how you're thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But moving on, kind of to the main portion of our podcast. So with the weird season coming up, in that there's the option of having a fifth year for any of the players, we decided we would try to go through the list of some of the top returning players in the Valley, and then also look into some of the newcomers as well. And at first, you know, honestly, one of the things that this kind of opened my eyes to is how many returning players there are. I, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, oh yeah, AJ Green's back. Okay, sure, Gage Prim's back, like whatever. But going through this list, I'm like, oh dang, you know, it's quality players. Like, I think the majority of players from the first three All Valley team from last year, I think it's like over 10. I think it's like 12 or 13 of them are back. Something kind of wild. I'll look at that while Lou's talking. But yeah, so I'm pretty excited to talk about them. Lou, how did you want to do it? You had a good idea, and I forget how you said it.
Yeah, so for right now, they're gonna be teams that pretty much we're gonna mention players, but there's not much depth in the conversation, only for the fact that they didn't have really great years last year, or like the team's kind of a whole new freshman that we don't really know about them. So the way we're going to break it down is group by teams that I think are going to have a hard time this year first. And those teams are going to be Illinois State and Evansville. Then the next tier are going to be teams that I think are on the verge of having a good season, but also on the verge of still in those training wheels. And that's going to be Bradley, Indiana State, Valpo, and Southern Illinois. And then you got the four contenders. I think every team that we're going to mention in the four, you got a ton of players, but I think each player we're going to talk about has got a key returner and a key newcomer that's going to make a splash, and that's going to be your Missouri State, your Drake, your Loyola, and, of course, your UNI with a healthy AJ Green. But, yeah, well, we'll start at the bottom, Buck, if you want to go there, and yeah, we'll just work our way up.
Yeah, sure. So, go for it.
Yeah, so I think kind of the first one, I think the idea behind this is just we'll kind of pick a returner and then also a newcomer, or in some cases we might have multiple returners. Just like Buck said, a lot of teams have returned a lot of people. And right off the bat, I'm going to talk about Evansville. So Evansville, for me, the biggest thing is that they're actually returning a really strong trio of guards. And that's in Juwan Newton, Shamir Grievens, and Noah Fedricking. And I think the biggest thing out of that is that they scored, I think, more than 50% of the team's total points per game last year. So all three of those guards, in my opinion, are all on the same type of level. They all can make an impact. I think they're better, all three of them playing well together. Not one of them, I think, has really found their key in taking over the team or anything. But for me, those are the three that are key to watch out. I would say the biggest thing is I don't really have a newcomer from Evansville. So, and Buck, what do you got for Evansville here?
Yeah, I think those three guys you named are pretty much the team for Evansville, at least from what we know. I would say that there's one guy that kind of separated himself from that group for me, and that's Shamar Givens. I think when we played him last year, he's just – so tough, like defensively as well as like shifty offensively. He did take home, I think he was kind of one of the surprises last year. He was a second team All Valley. So I think that, you know, he's kind of already got the respect of a lot of people in the league. And now it's just a question of like whether he can come back and show that he could do it again. He is going to be a senior this year, which I think gives him a little bit of a leg up too. So yeah, if there's one guy for me on Evansville, it's Shamar Givens. And I like you said, Juwan Newton and Frederick Ng. It's like, let's see if those guys can be, are they supporting him, or are they, or one of them going to take a step forward and also join him in being like the key of that team. But like you said, I don't really have a newcomer. They have a few freshmen that are coming in. None of them, to my untrained eye, like seemed worthy of talking about, at least at this point. And yeah, I think they're definitely bottom tier for me, as far as like the Valley goes. But then I'm going to move on. And you said the next one you wanted to talk about was Illinois State, right?
Yep.
Cool. So for me, the returner that we have that I would like to talk about is DJ Horn. DJ Horn was third team All Valley last year. He's going to be a junior this year.
All right, I'm going to have to stop you there, Andrew. Okay. DJ Horn transferred.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's where I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure he transferred.
Oh, shoot.
So I don't know if you want to
disregard. No, you're good. No, I we're learning things here. So why don't you go? Why don't you tell me someone that you had from Illinois State?
DJ Horn transferred, so I think we're gonna just make an adjustment. And I think the biggest thing is, for me, it's gonna be really up to like Antonio Reeves. I think that's a young guy who is gonna have some playing time, and I think he is going to be one of the biggest. He's gonna be the biggest reasons why they either have a good year or a bad year. I think he's gonna be potentially what Mueller looks for to improve the team, and I think that is one of the biggest ones out there for me. Again, I know he's a junior, but again, he has plenty of years left, but I think he's been kind of watching DJ Horn throughout the years, and he's gotten really familiar with the system, so I can see him having a great year. Then for me, I'd say the newcomer is, for the sole fact, I'm going to go on a kind of a limb just because I have no clue really of anything about him. But it's going to be Liam McHennessy, also a great last name. But Liam McHennessy is from Canada, and he also went to Utah State. So the only thing about him that I can really know about is that he's 6'10", and he's 6'10", and that's a big guy. And the tough thing is he hasn't really never really played at Utah State. For his freshman year, he sat out and redshirted. Then last year, he sadly had a season-ending leg injury, even though he did see action the first three games. Really not much, 6 and 4 minutes. He did score a bucket. But personally, I think potentially a healthy big man for Illinois State would be an interesting game changer, because I don't think they have had a big man in quite some time. Just because, again, with like what Tyler Bianga got injured. So if Liam McHennessy with a decent last name can stay healthy, I think he would be my newcomer. Again, it's the 6'10", it's the height. It really is.
Gotcha, yeah. I think that's a good one. I do have a newcomer as well. So one of the transfers that they have at Illinois State coming in from Tennessee State, his name's Mark Freeman. Looks like he's a point guard. He's 5'10". He actually, last year, he had a really successful season. He was all Ohio Valley second team. He averaged over 17 points. Had 4.5 assists and over 4 rebounds. This guy looked like he really filled up the stat sheet. Tennessee State. Unfortunately, Tennessee State was the worst team in the Ohio Valley Conference last year. So, I mean, you know, in Ohio Valley Conference is a step down from the Missouri Valley Conference. But, you know, it's someone that fills up the stat sheet. It seems like he's someone who can get pretty hot. He shoots over 80% from the free throw line. So, you know, you're going to have to really make him work. And, but you know, I want to see someone like, we'll put Marquise on him or Lucas on him. And I don't think he's going to be a problem, but he could have some games where he really lights up the scoreboard. I'm guessing Illinois State's still going to lose those games by 12 or 15. So, but yeah, Mark Freeman from Tennessee State, someone to watch for me.
Yeah, no, I like that. Especially, I we're noticing that when guys have at least some type of high level, I guess, competition in the Ohio Valley, you might see them transition into the Missouri Valley quite well. So, awesome. So, yeah, those were kind of our bottom two tier teams, and nothing really stated about where we think. It just they really are not returning too many strong guys. A lot of guys left, and then also they are returning guys who are just new to the Valley or just a lot of young guys. So I think the biggest one for me, then let's go off the next group, the group of Valpo, Bradley, Indiana State, and Southern. And what I'd actually like to start off with, new coach, new team in Indiana State. So, Buck, what do you got there for Indiana State?
I mean, I think the first thing we got to talk about is definitely Tyreek Key. They lost, they lost a few guys, a few really key guys. But Tyreek Key, I feel like he's like Cameron Krutwick. He just like he's never gonna leave. I think this is actually his fifth year. I think he's been here 5 years, and I don't know if he was All Valley his first year, but he definitely was All Freshman, and now I think he's been on an All Valley team every year, you know, the past 3 years, I guess, and he was first team last year. So Tyreek Key is just such a dynamic player. Now he's a fifth year. He's a great scorer, and he's just gonna go on and probably go off like multiple games this year. So for me, like, I really think he's just such a key to them, and he's going to help the new coach kind of like bring in the new, just kind of all the new players.
I really do like that because, again, you can't deny a first team Valley all player. The fact that he got to keep him. I know what Cooper Neese, you and I were just chatting. He's staying. But Tyreek Key, I think, is going to really make it easy to be able to go to someone and be like, hey, we need a bucket here, or at least get guys to be like, hey, I know the team we're playing. I've played them the last 5 years, like you said. So I think Tyreek Key definitely fits in that mold of being a strong leader, but then also just a strong scorer for Indiana State. Kind of going into my newcomer, I think we're going to just have to jokingly say one of the newcomers is going to have to be the coach. It's going to be an interesting dynamic, but they got a new coach and everything there down at Indiana State. But for me, from on the court aspect, is kind of going to be actually just some of their JUCO recruits. I'm just really intrigued by JUCO recruits in the Valley. I think Loyola's had some decent JUCO recruits. And I think that's going to be Kalix Stevens, who played at Tallahassee Community College. Was unable to play due to – he arrived last season, but he was unable to play due to injury. So this is kind of his first full year. So that's why I'm intrigued to see after a year already being in the kind of system. So, I'm intrigued by that. And then, again, it's just to point out there's a lot of newcomers, a lot of trio of players from the Division II school, Lincoln Memorial, where the new head coach was previously from.
I think for me, the other guy to look at is a transfer from Oregon State. Actually, his name's De'Aaron Tucker, bigger guy, 6'10", was on the team that made it to the Elite Eight, which we are not going to talk about because, you know, still it's too soon. But he's a big guy. I think Indiana State's going to need him after losing both Trey Williams and Jake LaRavia. So just someone to watch for me coming from a Pac-12 school. I think De'Aaron Tucker could be someone that we look back on at the end of the year and ask where he came from. And, you know, now we talked about him. So
absolutely.
So what's the next team?
Yeah. Next team's going to be for me, I think let's do Southern. So obviously I think we're just going to both be in agreement here, but a healthy Marcus Domask is going to be what's going to make this team or break this team. He missed, he started the first 10 games before missing the year with an injury. So in those 10 games, he averaged 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. I really do think he is the what's going to make that team. And, again, a really strong candidate for really any of the teams in the Valley, but as well as potentially player of the year, potentially just really, really strong player in the Valley. Buck, is that what your returner, or do you got someone different?
Well, so I do have Marcus Domask, but I actually have one more guy from Southern as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that is Lance Jones, who I think really took on a lot of doubters. I think he took on a lot of
I was one of those doubters until I saw a three-pointer against us, yep.
Three-pointer, and then another three-pointer, and then another three-pointer, and then another three-pointer, I think all in like 4 minutes.
And from the logo, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I felt like I'm going to be kind of bold here, and I got to look at it more. I honestly think if this team is healthy, and that's really important, they need to be healthy. I think if they work together, I really think they could be a top five. Even they might squeak in and be a top four team. I think this team could surprise some people. They're very, very deep. I was reading an article from Harry Schroeder today, just talking about how they really go 10 deep. So I think in the Valley, we've seen these past couple of years, like depth is super important. And having top players is important. And they got two of probably the best 10 or 12 players in the conference. So, but as I said, Marcus Domask has to be healthy, because if he's healthy, there's really not a lot of players in this league that I think are like him. So, he's just really talented.
Yeah. And then, I'm just going to mention one quick newcomer.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, people don't remember, Southern has a whole bunch of tall guys. They have 2'6", 9" Anthony DiVanzo from Lyon and Kyle Filowich, who AKA just is another small version of Cameron Krutwig. But I think the biggest one is, as they add two freshmen who are both 6'7" and then 6'10". But I'm going to go with the 6'10" and Scotty Ubi, just because I really do think he could make an impact. I don't know if he's going to start, but I think he could be really key in coming off the bench, because they're probably going to keep Filowich and DiVanzo as the starters. So having a 6'10 guy off the bench, I think, especially with this team, with the big guys, they need breaks. I really think Scotty Ubi could make a difference. But I also just wanted to put the name out there, because I think that's a guy who, hey, Brian Mullins has worked with a young big 6'10 kid, and that was in Cameron Krutwig before he left. And I do think he knows how to cultivate these young, tall, big guys into kind of prime starters for his teams.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's someone to watch for sure. I didn't have a newcomer for them, so we can move on to the next team.
Gotcha. Perfect. Yeah. So the next team, I think, is just going to be an interesting team for me. It's a team I've been waiting to talk about, is Valparaiso Beacons. I think that's
the first time
we've mentioned the Beacons. I'm just going
to wait. Hold on. Before we get into it, give it a grade out of 10. 1 to 10, what do you think of Beacons?
I really am going to give it a 6.3.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to give it an 8. I actually really like it. So that's my opinion.
Okay. I'm just going to be intrigued to see if anyone noticed what number I give it. But
that's been a long day. Okay, go on.
But yeah, no, I think the biggest thing, not only do they have a new name, they have an interesting bunch of new players. But of course, first, I'm just going to go with who I think is the biggest impact of the returning is their leading scorer, Ben Crikey, however you want to pronounce it. I don't really care. Because he was a menace to deal with, I think, personally watching. I didn't play with him because I don't play for this team of Loyola Ramblers, but watching him against us, I got me really frustrated. He was the leading scorer, and I think having another full year with him is going to be really interesting for Valpo, especially with Donovan Clay leaving and going so far to stay in the Valley. Having Ben Crikey back as the leading scorer, I think you might see him even grab more of the time. And then for me, I'm just going to jump in and then you can hit on. But the newcomers, they hit the transfer portal really interesting, and I'm very intrigued by it. But I think the biggest newcomer for them has to be Kobe King. Mm-hmm. Even though they did have a trio of Big Ten transfers, Kobe King, a player who played at the top level with Wisconsin, wasn't really a bad player at Wisconsin or anything. Just, I don't know, I guess maybe not didn't fit well. But I think potentially, I don't know if he has only 1 year left or 2 years. I forget with COVID and everything. But I'm very intrigued to see how that's going to come. And that's what I'm intrigued by, with Valpo returning their top leading scorer from last year, and then a guy who's definitely scored at the big stage in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it for me too. Ben Crikey, for sure. He does a lot of things really well. He was all MVC third team last year. And he's just, his height gives problems, but then, if you put a guard on him, he's going to back you down. If you try to get him out of the post, he's going to hit mid range. So he's a talented scorer. He can score from anywhere. Kobe King, like you said, 6'4". He didn't play at all last year, but interesting. He has played 3 whole years. So like you said, I do think he has 2 years, but it's still like, I don't really know. When he played for Wisconsin 2019-2020, he started all 19 games he played in. He averaged 10 points. He averaged 12.5 points per game during Big Ten play, which was, I think, the highest on his team. No, never mind. Forget that. But he did average 12.5 points during Big Ten play. I mean, he's a great player. It's interesting. I don't know how this team is going to do. I think they're going to be really interesting. I don't see it coming together for them to be like a top five team. I just don't think they have that like top end talent. But if there's one guy that can surprise everyone and do that, it is Kobe King for sure. He's just super talented. So
no, absolutely. Yeah. I think the Valpo newcomers were interesting. But they got some talent there, and then they got Ben, who's already proven.
Who was the guy that they transferred? Didn't they have a transfer from Michigan State too?
Two transfers from Michigan State. So they have two transfers.
It's two from Wisconsin,
one from that's right. Yeah. So Trevor Anderson from Wisconsin, backup point guard. I think he dealt with some injuries, but then there's a big guy, Joe. That's why I remember Headstorm. Or Heatstorm, however you want to pronounce it. I'm going to say his head's in the clouds because he's such a big guy. But
there's three from Wisconsin. There's three but from there's Wisconsin. One from where is
Thomas
one from
Thomas Keithler. That's what it is.
Keithler.
Thomas Keithler is the Michigan State. And let me just confirm, is he the big guy?
He's 6'8", but there is the Joe Headstorm is seven, a 7-footer.
Thank you. That's the one I was going to say. Yeah. So Joe Headstorm, head's in the clouds. And he's the big guy. So, again, I'm not going to say – if we want to just blanket because I have a lot to talk about for the Valpo, though, it's not that Valpo didn't get – they didn't get bad transfers, but they got guys who were kind of mediocre at other schools. But these schools are big-time schools, so you can potentially see this impact get big. And so that's what the intriguing thing is. I don't know the exact eligibility left for some of these guys. So, but, again – hey, I think Valpo is heading in the right direction, and that's why they're in this group, because I think this group, especially the next team is, I think some of these teams are going to be pests to deal with from a Loyola standpoint, because I think they got guys who can score, but they're not all around there yet, but I think they're definitely teams that could ruin other teams' path to winning an MVC championship.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the reason why I'm kind of down on Valpo. Like, they have a lot of talent, don't get me wrong. But the reason why I haven't seen them put it together, like they've had talent. They had Javon Freeman Liberty, along with like Donovan Clay, who
Nick Robinson,
Aaron Gordon.
You're absolutely right. I do agree with that. That's so true. It's like you have a depth chart, right? But it didn't produce it on the court, I think is what you're trying to say. Right?
Exactly. Whereas Southern, you know, I am still tentative about them, but at least we know their head coach and we know that he's very good at his job, and I just have like more faith in him to put it together. I guess that's what it comes down to.
No, I to be honest with you, I really, really do like that. And that's the thing, I didn't think about that, but they do kind of, and maybe it's on the coach. You can get a lot of guys to come, but then putting them on the court is really interesting. So but I think that another team that is going to be interesting on the court, though, is going to have to be the Bradley Braves. What a roster shakeup from last year, I have to say. Also a roster that kind of broke down midway through the season due to some legal troubles that we've yet to finally understand what's going on. But I think the biggest thing, though, moving forward to what team's going to be showing up on the court, I'm not going to mention him, but I'm going to let you potentially, just because I have my biggest fan of returner. My big fan of returner is going to be Ari Boya, the 7-1 senior. Just because I love centers, and 7-1 just screams that you could potentially be crazy. But for those of you who don't remember, Bradley did have Bull a few years ago, who wrecked havoc on us in a few games. And just simple pick and rolls, blocks, and everything. So if Brian Wardle keeps that same mentality of having a big guy just be a presence in the paint, you could see that when we struggled that one game in Drake when they had what's the kid who went to Minnesota?
Robbins.
Yeah, Liam Robbins. Like, I think there is potential if you coach a big man properly who's not a strong scorer. I don't expect Ari Boya to be a strong scorer at all. I know he scored 5.6 points. But him on the defensive side could really shake up things for our guys. And the reason why I say this is because we now have a new potential center because we don't have Cameron Krawick anymore. So that's why I'm intrigued by Ariboia. I think I would love to see a battle between him and Cage Prim. That's going to be really exciting for me. But who is your returner, big impact returner for Bradley?
Yeah, for me, it's Jayshon Henry. I think he is very athletic. He's a great defender and a good finisher around the rim. And for me, like, I really want to see if he can take that next step to see if he can create his own shot. I think that's what it comes down to, if he's going to be an all-valley type of player or if he's just going to be a really good role player. So I genuinely think he's a great player. I honestly wish he was on Loyola because I think he's a fun player. But I don't know if he's going to take that step to be like a top player. So he's the one that I'm looking for from Bradley this year. And it honestly, like, for me, Bradley is the least, has the least potential in this group of four that we're talking about right now. I have them very much on the bottom of my list. I haven't made one yet, but towards the bottom. For me, the newcomer, there is one from Bradley that I'm looking at, and his name is Malevi Lyons. He was the junior college player of the year this past year. He averaged, I think, like 19 points a game and almost 10 rebounds a game. His team made it to the Elite Eight of the JUCO tournament or whatever. Just a little bit I've read, it says he obviously a good scorer and rebounder, but he also is a good shot blocker and an able passer. So kind of sounds like a do-it-all type guy, but until he plays in Division I basketball, you know, who knows if he can actually do it at that level. But someone to watch, Malevi Lyons. Lou, anyone from Bradley, any newcomers?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Mikey Howell. Just intriguing reading about him. Four-year starter at UC San Diego. And last year he led in assists with 6 per game. And I think in the Valley that's capable, especially when it looks like they're going to be heavy in the offensive looking to be through the big guys. I'd be very intrigued to see how a new point guard kind of handles there. Very similar to that short point guard they had a few years ago, who really worked out with Elijah Childs. So
Brown.
Yeah, Darrell Brown. Just the fact that I think Brian Wardle knows how to deal with a combo of a big man and a point guard. So when a guy who already looks like he knows how to move the ball. So I'd be very intrigued by that. But I think kind of just to tie this whole group up, this group of four teams is really teams that, like you said, if all things go well, if Alpo's depth chart actually produces, if SIU stays healthy, if Bradley finds a new way to rhythm with their new team, and then if Indiana State new coach, but a Tyreek Hill leads them, these teams could make a splash and affect these next four teams we're talking about. But again, there's so much uncertain knowledge, for example, that I would say that's why we're putting them kind of in this bracket. But a lot of names talked about there, but I think it's time to get into the next four teams, which are the big four, the power four of the MVC, especially going into this next year. And I would say, if you don't mind, let's start off with the Missouri State Bulldogs, Missouri State Bears.
Yes.
And the reason why is, like, I think that they're a team that are looking behind the Bulldogs and Drake. They're looking behind the Panther, you and I. They're right there at the gate, at the door, but they just never really break through, personally. And I think that's why I'm just going to say, I think Cage Prim this year is taking this extra year to his advantage and being like, I gotta break some things. I got to do some things. And I do think, potentially, my thing about Cage Prim, I would be intrigued to see if he does a double-double, averages a double-double. Because last year, he did 16.7 points, 9.1 rebounds. I really do think he's capable of potentially averaging a double-double. So that's going to be my returning player. And then, I actually, you know what? I want to hear your returning player, and then I want to see what newcomer we both pick, because I think we have nearly the same one.
Yeah, well, so I also have Gage Frame, but I can't not talk about Isaiah Mosley either. Absolutely. A first team All Valley leading scorer.
He was almost the leading scorer in all of NCAA in the beginning.
Yeah, he was like at least like top 15, I think.
Yeah, I think he was in top 5, and then they played us, and that's when things went down. But I really appreciate you bringing it up. I agree. It's a team that he's a 6'5". He's a 6'5 point guard. Like that's really amazing. I think he knows how to move the ball. So I agree absolutely with you.
Yeah, but I'm going to say right now, Gage Fram is my preseason Larry Bird trophy winner. Like, if I had to pick, that's who I'm going with. So, Gage Fram, obviously, star. But yeah, for returners, so, or newcomers, rather, it's actually kind of funny. So, I have two different guys, actually, from Missouri State, too. And one of them is, like, kind of a technicality.
That's what I was going to say.
It's Donovan Clay,
yep.
Who is transferring from Valpo. I think Porter at one point called him like the most NBA ready prospect in the Valley. He has all the skill, all the talent in the world, all the physical features, and just like kind of hasn't put it together yet. And now is this his third year or fourth year?
Ooh.
I know he's it's it, I think it's
I think
third,
this
but
is
I
his look. Third year in the Valley. I don't yeah. know because I yeah I think this is yeah this would be his third year in the Valley. Yep.
Yeah. So that's one for me, and then I'll let you talk about Clay. But the other guy I do think is kind of interesting, a freshman coming in. His name's Isaac Haney, 6'1" shooting guard. He's a 3-star athlete from Springfield, Missouri. Just someone that I think is a very talented dude. I've seen some of his tape on Twitter. If he had more playing time, probably would make a bigger impact, but still someone that I think is worth mentioning here. But yeah, did you want to talk about Clay?
Yeah. So I was just going to make a joke. Yes. Donovan Clay is technically a newcomer for the Missouri, but he's not a newcomer. So that's one out there, but I actually have a decent newcomer that's not going to be Donovan Clay, and I'm very intrigued by him. So it's going to be Jalen Minnett. Jalen Minnett comes from IUPUI, and he's a senior point guard. I believe he's going to be a fifth year. I could look up really quick at their – let me see just sorry what they label him here. They label him just as a senior, so I think that the whole point – he's played 4 years at IUPUI, and he's going to have his final year, I think, of eligibility because of COVID at Missouri State. And last year at IUPUI, he averaged over 16 points a game. And I think, yeah, he averaged 16 points a game, and then in his last two seasons he averaged over 16 points a game for IUPUI. So I really do think that this will be a very intriguing piece with Mosley and with Gage Fram, that it looks like now they have three guys who can put it to the rim and score for them. And when Isaiah can't have a good game, maybe they're going to go to a minute. I really do think he's going to make a really, really big impact. And I know IUPUI is in the Horizon or even in the Summit. I forget what – I think they're in the Horizon.
They're Horizon.
They're Horizon, yeah, because they play UIC, yep. And I know it's below the Valley, but I think coming – being able to score at that high level, like look at Braden Norris, right? Braden Norris steps up and he comes from Horizon, right? So I think that is the same type of caliber that this point guard. And also the crazy thing is he is just, I think, a scorer, but I think him and – Cage Prim can really go well together, so I'll be intrigued by that.
It's so crazy looking at their roster, like just how much talent they have. Like, I mean, you know,
you know what? It's another team I want to say, and I agree. I think that's where you're going. It's almost another team that they've always put a decent depth chart together. That for some, like Dana Ford can get these guys to come, get these kids to come, these transfers, right? One year, what they had two guys from like San Jose State and one guy from West Virginia a few years ago. And it just didn't translate out to the court. Now, Cage Brim been a great pickup for them, but I do agree with you on the fact that they've always put a decent lineup together of names and everything and of guys who've scored. But for some reason, they just, like I said, I think they've always been looking into these next three teams from the outside, just waiting to break that down that door because they just haven't, in my opinion, really gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they have three dudes that are huge, like Gage Prim, obviously, Nick Tata, who played last year and was, like, pretty good in limited minutes, and then it looks like they have a transfer, or maybe just didn't play last year, Dawson Carper, a 7-footer from Hawaii. It's like, what the heck, man? They just, like, have so much talent, but I don't want to keep talking about them too long because I know we got to talk about other teams here. So anything else on Missouri State?
No, I think there's just a team looking in. So next team, though, we're just going to talk about them because I think this is where they fit, is going to be Northern Iowa. For me, again, the returner, I'm just going to say it, A.J. Green, but a healthy A.J. Green is going to be the biggest thing. Already a player of the year. I don't think he's going to be player of the year this year. And I'm just going to say I don't think it's the fact that he won't put up good numbers. I think it's the fact that his numbers won't be the same level like Cage Brim. I think he, with the fact that Bourne played last year, right?
Bowen Bourne
played and filled. He went for one freshman of the year. So I think you're going to see potentially maybe not all the weight be put on AJ Green. If you remember all the games against us, how many times that ball had to be in his hand because there's really no one else. And they still have Pickford returning. Like, they have key players, but I think AJ Green is the top returner. I just don't think you'll see him at the same level as you did before the injury again. This is the team I don't have a newcomer. So if you got a returner and a newcomer, please, you take it away.
I mean, I I don't have a newcomer either, but I do have two returners, and you kind of talked about both. Obviously, AJ Green, for me, is the top on this list, like, of most important. I'm not, like you said, I don't really think he's going to be player of the year. I'm just not predicting it. I think he obviously can be because he is that talented. But for me, he's the most important returning player for his team because he missed all of last year, because he does so many things so well for them. He makes that offense go. And he's just – he has some national attention already. Like, when he won player of the year, there were some national people really talking about him. They were probably going to get an at-large bid that year for the tournament. Obviously, nothing – it didn't end up happening. But also, you mentioned him, Bowen Bourne. I think he is very important for that team, too. Freshman of the year last year. I think it's really important to see how they play together because they haven't – I mean, they probably played – I think they played, like, a few games together at the beginning of last year. But Bowen Bourne changed. His role increased so much. And honestly, like, it could be one of those things where they might not play well together. Some guys just don't play well together. Or they play super well, and that could be the thing that takes them from third or fourth to first or second. So for me, like, Bowen Bourne is a very important player for them, and I'm excited to see how he does. But they just have so many returners. Like you mentioned a couple, Austin Fife is coming back, who's a two-time All-Missouri Valley Conference player, and just some of their role players too. So they just have so many returners, and they're gonna be tough. They're gonna be a formidable opponent for sure.
Yep, absolutely. So next, I think coming to the big two teams that I think one team has a slight edge in how many guys they return, but the other team has the proven run of experience with some of these. Majority of the guys just had a great run, but let's first go into the Drake Bulldogs. Again, I think this is going to be how healthy he is returning, but you got to give it to, for the biggest returner coming, is going to be the Tank, is going to be Hemphill. He started the first 20 games and then missed the rest of the season due to the injury, but then came back for the tournament game. So kind of a limited role. So I think that's like the it's the biggest asterisk I have. It's just for the sole fact of like, hey, I hope he's healthy because I'd love to see a battle with us and him because I think he's a great player. But the fact that is he going to be healthy, that's kind of the biggest thing. So I think Tank, though, is the guy who leads that team, is the guy that is going to be really just the one who leads them to another run potentially. I think another guy who came from the Horizon League and transitioned in the Missouri Valley really well. And I think this is actually a great point that I want to tie in, is just like, look at his range last season, first season in the Valley. And I think easily a really strong impact right away. So kind of crazy to think, and just really excited to see what he does.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go a different way here. I think Roman Penn they're both worthy of like talking about.
To be honest with you, the whole team, there's a lot of guys on this team that are coming back that it's like, I really want to talk about them, but yeah.
No, and I'm glad because I picked him and you picked Tank. So yeah, Roman Penn for me, I mean, he was the runner up of Larry Bird Trophy last year. Just super dynamic point guard, does everything really well for them offensively and defensively. He's basically like Braden Norris, but like times 10. Like, but I'm saying, like, he can do a lot of really good. He runs everything. He's a great shooter. He's a great passer. He's super smart. He's a super, like, if you haven't seen Drake play, but you've seen Loyola, that's kind of like why I'm saying that comparison there. And he's like a healthy Roman Penn, I think, for them is really important, and is just gonna make them not only a competitor in the Valley, but I think a national competitor as well.
Yeah, because like correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't play in any of the tournament games.
No. Okay. They had Joe Yesufu step in, but he has transferred.
Yeah. So no, I think Roman Penn is one of the key reasons that kept the team during the kind of break of Hemphill toward the end. Let's be honest, he didn't get to play in the tournament, in the conference tournament. So I think that's where you get potentially just the fact that you get guys that stepped up, guys that put together. Again, there's a whole list. You could even say potentially DJ Wilkins kind of does well. Darnell Brody, I think, is definitely another force on that team. The team's got a lot. But I think for me, the biggest area and questionable thing about Drake is going to be in the next category. And I'd love to get in a little discussion. But it's going to be in the newcomer. And it's going to be the coach's son for me. It's going to be the top 100 recruit. What's he going to do for them? Is he going to make a splash like AJ Green? AJ Green, another top 100 recruit. Very interesting, very interesting dynamic. Is the dad going to sit the son the first year because he's got a stacked team? I don't know. Really, I'm really intrigued, but that's who I'm going to pick for my and to be honest, he's the dark horse. I already heard it. He's the dark horse for freshman of the year, potentially giving him six man. I don't know. We'll see, but that's what I got.
I think he's the lead for freshman of the year. Like, I think he's the odds-on favorite, in my opinion. I mean, he's just like you said, top 100 recruit. We haven't really had a top 100 recruit since AJ Green, right? Is AJ Green's the last one?
I'm pretty sure AJ Green's the last, yeah.
In the Valley, yeah. So, I mean, he's like 6'6", 6'7", pretty skilled. Like you said, probably going to be coming off the bench, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. He's a real talent. I'm scared, honestly. Like, he is someone that scares me. If we basically think AJ Green, you know, is he going to be an AJ Green for 4 years? Or, you know, is he going to – he probably won't transfer because he's playing for his dad. So is he going to go to the NBA if he plays really well? I don't – you know, who knows?
That'd be very funny and awkward if he transfers. That's all I'm saying.
Right. He transfers to, like, Iowa or something.
But then again, as you look at it, AJ Green's dad left the coaching staff and he didn't transfer. So you never know.
Right.
You never know. But, yeah, no, really interesting dynamic there. And just, again, kind of a stacked team of guys who have – like, if you look at the Loyola Drake game, guys from Tank, from Tramell Murphy to Roman Penn to Darnell Brody, Yesufu's gone, DJ Wilkins, all those guys played really tough against us. And then you added a newcomer in such as DeVries' son. I think it's going to be a really interesting dynamic that's brought back to the Drake Bulldogs.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. They're going to be fun to play against. And we know there's a little bit of animosity, some beef, you might say, after what happened last year when we went to Drake and crushed them and then lost by one, I think, or two, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And then as we're walking off the court, of course, Drake decided to start chirping at us, or I don't know. I don't know the whole story, but there's some beef there. So those are going to be some pretty fiery games, I can imagine, and a lot on the line for both those teams later in the season.
Absolutely. So
yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Speaking of beef, we got the biggest thing to talk about is going to be
our big beef, the prime rib, the brisket.
My big beef is going to be my returning player, and I'll get to him. But we're going to talk about our loyal Chicago Ramblers. I do think, Buck, correct me, we're probably going to go into a little bit more detail about the roster at some point. Probably in the previews, but let's give a kind of a foreshadow about biggest things. And I'm going to be, it's just, and I'll explain maybe later, but I'll go into quick things. So I'll go into first my returner. Okay. And my returner, and the reason why I'll explain, is going to be Jacob Hudson. Jacob Hudson is my key returner for the fact that what is his role going to be? I think I understand Lucas's, I understand Keats, I understand Hears, I understand Tate's role. As these seniors come back, then, of course, with Braden Norris, Marquise Kennedy. But Jacob Hudson showed something at the end of last season that I don't think not single one person, maybe his mother, maybe his father, who shout out to Mr. Hudson, key listener, they knew he had this, but I'll be honest, I didn't know he was ready to do this. I've really been always excited for him, but he really showed that, I think, and we saw clips over the season working out. If he keeps up to a regiment and really works on it, he could become our, you could see him starting center come the first game this fall. So I think that's going to be mine. We'll get into it deeper later, but that's my key returner. And those are kind of the reasons why. Buck, what do you got?
Well, so my quick one is Lucas Williamson. We know why. He's the leader. He's the, the heart and soul.
You're his number one fan. It's okay.
I'm his number one fan. But the one that I actually kind of want to talk more in depth about is actually Braden Norris. We have only seen the past 4 years an offense going, well, 3.5, I'd say, going through Cameron Krewig. And now that he's gone, I think a lot of that actually falls on Braden's shoulders. I think most of it falls on his shoulders to, like, really run the offense, organize, you know, call plays, make sure everyone is where they're supposed to be. So for me, like, I think Braden Norris is the key, him and Keith, I guess, but Braden Moore, of like how far this team can go. Because I think we've just kind of relied a lot on Cam to just dictate the offense, and now he's not there. And not that I don't think we have the talent, we have the skill, we have the shooters and stuff, but there's someone that's going to need to initiate. And I think that guy is going to end up being Braden Norris. So just, I think he's really important for the team this year. So
gotcha. Yeah.
You're a newcomer.
And I think newcomer for me, I think the biggest newcomer for me is going to be St. Thomas. I think it was a very late pickup, very kind of out of the – just I didn't know much about him, right? T.Y. been paid attention to and everything, knew about a Ben Schweiger and everything.
Ivy League.
Private league recruits, thank you. We knew about him early because they transferred early. But St. Thomas just came out of there, and then you just start reading about him, and you're like, okay, a 6'7 small forward, and he's got balance, and can shoot. I am very interested. I'd like to see where this goes. So that's kind of me. I'm getting a lot of Dante vibes. I'm just going to say it because I think he's got a quick to the rim and he's got a bounce to him, but then he's a straight shot. I always remember Dante just goes straight up and shoots. So just really intriguing. I'm very excited. Just overall looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, me too. I think Saint is such a great talent. I'm looking forward to him. My guy, you talked about a big in your returners. I'm going to talk about a big in my transfers, and that's Chris Knight. He is transferring from Dartmouth, where he was second team all Ivy League. He led his team in scoring and rebounding. He had almost 15 points a game and 6.5 rebounds a game. The thing is, he's not very tall. He's only 6'7", 6'8". I've seen both. But for me, like, he gives me kind of like Andre Jackson vibes, but maybe like a little bigger, like a little like bigger shoulders, bigger arms type guy. I'm looking forward, like you talking about Jacob Hudson potentially being the starting center. I think Chris Knight is going to get every shot to be the starting center as well. He is a great rebounder. He is a very skilled shot blocker. I've seen some tape on him. He gets up. He goes straight up, and he's a very fundamentally sound defensive player. So I think they're really going to like that and see a lot in him. But I'm just excited to see how he does. I think he is going to add a lot to the team, kind of a different element. We all know that there's a lot of bigs in the Valley, and it's going to take more than one guy to get through this Valley season. And we're going to need Hudson, Chris Knight, Tom Welch, all these guys to be big. And I think Chris Knight is just going to be a very quality player to add to the mix.
Yeah. One player I want to talk about that I'll probably go into more later is just going to be Demezi Anderson, just for the fact of returner, newcomer, yada, yada. I don't really know what we want to call him, but I think Demezi Anderson just one out there to keep in mind. We're going to go into more detail around our team, of course, and we're going to give a little bit more previews of the teams and what we kind of expect their records to be. But this was kind of something how we wanted to start off, and I really did like it. Just getting people familiar with names when you start hearing them. Like Buck said, we wanted to get some of these names out there now, and we'll talk to them more, and then we'll see how it progresses. Maybe give an update midway through the season if we still think, but Buck, I'm excited to be talking about this. I'm excited to be thinking about potential matchups. Just excited to be talking about Loyola basketball here in the new season of 2021-2022.
Yeah, me too. It's been fun. I like was looking forward to researching all these guys, and honestly, there's so many more players that the Valley's just gonna be so dang good. I mean, I know I feel like I say that every year, but I really think this is the year that they get multiple bids, even three potentially.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, let's hold them to it potentially. So three bids conference, we'll see it hopefully. And I'm excited to talk more in the future episodes.
Yeah, me too. So future weeks, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to be going back to our weekly episodes. So next week we're going to start our sort of like previews for all the teams. So this is just kind of a first, like, you know, look at the Valley, some of the players. And then next week, we're going to start with Illinois State, Southern Illinois, and Valpo. So we'll preview. I'm sure there's going to be other, you know, things that pop up, other new stories. One of these weeks, we'll give you guys a little bit of a taste of how some of our former or our graduated Ramblers are doing internationally. Just want to mention, you know, we do know like Krutwig and Ingram and Towns and all those guys are playing abroad. Just give them a little time to accumulate some games, and we'll talk about how they're doing abroad playing professionally. But that will be coming sometime soon. So, Lou, what are your last thoughts? Anything to add?
Go Blurs.
Go Blurs. Well, thank you all for listening. And like I said, we're excited to be back weekly. As always, if anyone has any questions, please, you know, DM us or tweet at us or email us, whatever you have. But I think that's going to do it here from Buck and Lou at Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.